Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Uncanny Treks as we talk about the Archie versus Punisher crossover from 1994.
Pretty well, Bob. Man, Archie versus Punisher, that's not really a team-up, but it's not the kind of characters you'd think would come together in a book.
I think it's fair to say it's a team-up.
And one thing I do love about the cover of this, Bob, immediately it says 48 pages of no ads. That must have been a big deal back in the day.
Always nice to dodge the ads. This is written by a guy, Batten Lash. Have you ever heard of him or his famous, maybe stretching it, but his most known comic series, Supernatural Law?
No, I've never heard of this man, Bob.
Supernatural Law, I've never read it, and apparently the characters from it cameo in this, but I didn't know that until after I reread it, and so I'm not sure where they cameo in it. It's basically just a comedy series about lawyers who engage in supernatural law, horror movie law, if that makes sense. I think it was originally published as a comic strip in some law journal, and then it got its own comic.
That actually sounds really creative and something I might actually want to read, but that's a long stretch for this book.
I'm not saying you shouldn't read it. I've always meant to try Supernatural Law myself. But the other thing you might know Batten Lash from, and I can't remember what series this is now, but he apparently did caricatures of Barack and Michelle Obama back in the Obama administration that MSNBC said were racist.
Oh.
And so he's dead now, Batten Lash, but that, I guess, was the moment of his greatest notoriety. I'm sure they probably were a racist. I haven't.
Oh, so that's how the common man would know him.
You would know him from controversy in the Obama administration Shortly before his death. That's Batten Lash and Supernatural Law. Have you heard of John Buscema, the does the Punisher segment?
I've heard of him.
Really legendary career at Marvel. Almost no work at DC, but stayed at Marvel basically his whole career. I'm most fond of him for his art on the first Silver Surfer series in the 70s that Stan Lee was writing. There's some really good art in that. And then the Archie art is done by Stan Goldberg, who's one of those classic Archie artists. He actually was the colorist at Marvel for a while and colored, I think, a lot of the big 60s Marvel stuff, Kirby FF, Ditko Spider-Man, that sort of thing. But eventually he went to Archie and just was one of the guys in the classic style and was still doing this.
Flipping through this issue, and I can't really find anybody that sticks out, so that's just something maybe the listeners need to go figure out. I don't know where these people are.
Where the Supernatural Law crew is or characters are. Although there are some other cameos we'll talk about in a minute. And the first more substantive thing I wanted to ask you, on page 8, Matt, our villain, our Archie doppelganger, Red Fever, he's got a list of options from the New York City bus terminal. Do you recognize any of those options, Matt?
Well, I recognize Happy Harbor. I recognize Riverdale, of course. I recognize Gotham. Now, we also have Glendale, Ivytown, Sailport, and Hartson. I don't know those.
Ivytown is the Harvard equivalent in the DC universe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where the Atom is headquarters, a Cambridge, Harvard equivalent. And then, what's Happy Harbor?
Well, Happy Harbor, that's where the first Justice League headquarters was located, and that's where the Young Justice people set up their stuff.
In the TV show. I guess in the Peter David comic. It's inside a mountain, isn't it?
That's correct.
Maybe this is obvious, but I'm just now contemplating how unlikely it is to have a mountain in a harbor town right by the beach.
You'd be surprised, Bob. They have them in Bermuda. They can put a cave wherever the hell they want, Bob. Batman put a cave under his house.
Hey, the cave was already there, and it was used to hide patriots during the Revolution.
Yeah.
It was used to hide fugitive slaves during the Underground Railroad. He didn't build the cave. He just used
it. It's got a long history.
You saw what it was used for in Gotham Year One. Don't make his kid.
That's true. For the lizards.
It was a bit more than a porn stat.
It's pretty nasty.
It's pretty nasty. We all know what Riverdale and Gotham are, obviously. I was wondering if Glendale, Sailport, and Harston were some other fictional thing, or maybe they were important locations for Archie side adventures. I couldn't find anything. Maybe they're just generic names that the writer came up with, or maybe they are obscure Archie stuff that I just didn't find. Bob, you're a moron. You've never heard of Sailport?
Sailport, James Patterson novel.
Don't you expect Veronica and her father to go to Sailport every summer to sail? Your favorite bit came pretty early in the comic, right? What was your favorite?
Well, this skeezy dude, we need to set this up a little bit for the listeners, Bob, because What's going on here is a case of mistaken identity. The Punisher's tracking down this dude who kind of looks like Archie, and he's got buck teeth, and we find out later on he actually wears a red wig, which means maybe he's just a master of disguise.
Yeah, he's bald. Big reveal at the end. Do you know what the buck teeth is a reference to?
Not a clue.
I didn't know this, but apparently that's the original Archie design.
They wanted to make seem like more of the children that were reading it. Okay.
In some panels, Archie doesn't really have buck teeth, but he does have pretty prominent front teeth in some.
My favorite cop-out, though, does happen at the beginning of the issue because Punisher's leaving the town, and he's like, he's going to hunt down Archie. And then we segue over into Riverdale, where Archie's at the door, and we see Archie's body in a crosshair. You're thinking it's the Punisher about to shoot him, but it's actually this little kid that squirts him with a squirt gun. But I like the setup because you have to change the page to see what actually happens.
And that little kid is Veronica's little cousin, Leroy. And Matt, are you a little disappointed we didn't get to see Leroy horribly murdered in either Archie vs. Predator or Archie vs. Predator 2?
I would have appreciated that.
I should have looked this up, but it did make me wonder, is Leroy a reoccurring character in the Archie mythos as it is? Or was he just something that they invented just for this because they needed him for the gag?
Leroy is like the linchpin figure in the entire Archie universe.
Yeah, it does seem that Leroy Lodge does show up in other stuff. And he also, judging by this picture, it doesn't look like he's always this small.
His haircut's still awful.
Yeah, it's a really bad haircut.
He's got the haircut that I usually associate with children who don't do well in school.
Is that a pop culture thing, Matt, or is that a professional experience?
That's more of a professional experience.
You already explained the basic gimmick here of Red Fever being an Archie doppelganger, and we do get a list on page 11 of his aliases, our Red Fever, and his aliases include Czar, Melvin J, Montana Bob, and Freckles. Which of those do you find the funniest?
Red Fever's Freckles? I like that one. Yeah, we'll go with Freckles.
You go with Freckles. Okay, you call him Freckles. I'll keep calling him Red Fever. Another thing I didn't know, but I just saw while I was reading around about this comic, Montana Bob is a joke about the creator of Archie, whose name is Bob Montana. My favorite bit also came pretty early in this comic, and you have the feds detaining Archie and Jughead to question them. And Archie, yeah, they're actually mobsters, but Archie very patriotically tells Jughead that they have to go along with this detaining because it's a matter of national security. Funny.
This does lead to a dance. Every Archie comic leads to a dance.
This is true.
This Archie comic specifically, they made sure to say that it was a 50s dance so they could wear their 50s attire that they usually wear. Did you catch that?
I did catch
that. Okay. It threw me off at first because Archie's like, I had to rent this suit. And I'm like, that's what you wear in every comic. But I get it now.
Well, it's also interesting because I feel like, and granted, I was not reading a lot of Archie comics in 1994, but I feel the Archie world almost always feels vaguely 50s. And when it doesn't feel vaguely 50s, it feels vaguely 60s. And so you wonder, is there a little bit of a joke there of, okay, the characters are just going to look more 1950s than they already do?
I guess the book technically is supposed to be in modern day.
But wouldn't it be funny if we had a more 1950s Punisher?
I would like to see a 1950s Punisher and what his getup would look like. I assume it'd be like a sweater.
Sweater. He like smokes a cigarette as exercise every morning.
He wears penny loafers.
Man, that's... Did you catch all the cameos at the dance since you went ahead and brought up the dance?
I mean, there were some characters that I recognized from the other Archie, but we do have Josie and the Pussycats for starters.
Yeah, they're the entertainment, right? So that's one big one.
Apparently, they're also always booked for these dances, too.
That's their job. That's their job. I think the only exception is, I do think that Archie is sometimes in a band called the Archie. And then if you go to page 33... You see that big panel at the top of 33?
Yeah.
Do you know who that blonde chick with her back turned to the camera? Do you know who that is?
Not a clue.
Look at what she's saying in her dialogue.
So I asked the doctor if the host of Hogoth were really Hori. Hogoth.
Hori, host of Hogoth. Ring a bell?
Yeah, help me, Bob.
That's a Doctor Strange incantation.
Okay.
And so that means...
That's got to be Doctor Strange's girlfriend?
No.
Who, Tell me, Bob.
Sabrina, dog. Sabrina. Hey. I think this is more the classic. She's got the white blonde hair, and she's got the, oh, man, not scrunchie, but the hair piece.
There's a hair band up there.
It's the back of her head, but in profile.
Okay, yeah, if you zoom in on that, there ain't much to see there, Bob. Yes, Bob, she has an eyeball.
She has the blonde hair and the hairband.
Yeah. It's not actually a hairband, but whatever you
call it. Bob says it's a hairband, so we're just going to call it a hairband.
You said it was a hairband. Gaslighting.
Yeah.
So that blonde hair and that hairband are like the signature looks of classic Sabrina. Another cameo on that page, you see the redhead gesturing widely in front of Sabrina. And then do you see what that dark-haired woman is, what name she gives that redhead?
Patsy.
Yeah, do you know who Patsy is? I'll give you a hint. She is a Marvel character.
Patsy.
You've seen her on TV. You watched the Jessica Jones series.
It's not talking
who Jessica's best friend in that TV show is?
No, Bob. Help me. My brain is dead.
Patsy Walk.
You thought I was going to remember that?
The second most important character on that show. Every Disney show.
They all run together.
So she's the super heroine, Hellcat.
Oh, Hellcat. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I know Hellcat. I don't remember her alias.
Well, the reason I'm making such a big deal out of her alias is she didn't start as a superhero character. She started as a 1950s romance character.
Oh, so she's like in the wrong era here. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, I believe she was like an Archie knockoff. Patsy Walker, I think America's Sweetheart was her name. And so in the 60s, in the superhero boom, they do turn her, or maybe it was even in the 70s, they turn her into Hellcat. But in Hellcat comics or Patsy Walker comics, there's always reference to her. And they also, they're not worth going into because I barely know them. But like the woman she's talking to, Heidi, is also a Marvel like 1950s teen character. And then there's a couple others. Millie the Model are referenced in this as well.
So they went like deep in the archives for this.
I want to make clear, because Matt is acting like this took some sort of skill. I knew the Patsy and the Sabrina ones, but there are apparently, there's the Supernatural Law cameos. Apparently there's also some references to Sergeant Fury's Howling Commandos that I didn't catch in this. They go deep with the cameos. Oh man. One other gag I wanted to highlight, Matt, is on page 38, speaking of the 50s theme, we see Moose has an I Like Ike button, and that really makes me laugh.
Yeah, on the same page, Bob, I do want you to look at Punisher's friend, his sidekick, Microchip. They go all out with like making him look as realistic as possible with his like realistic gun.
And that is a very lovingly detailed gun.
Artists went crazy on that image.
That also sets up the page we independently both picked as our favorite, which is to go back a little on 23. And this really shows the art gimmick of the comic, where you have in the same panel both Stan Goldberg and John Buscema drawing things, right? At first, at the top of the page on 23, you have just a close-up on Archie's eyes, but you see John Buscema Punisher reflected in Stan Goldberg's eyes.
Yes.
And then Good, the Bad, and the Ugly style, you cut to Frank's eyes done by John Buscema.
No reflection.
And then you cut to a bottom panel where you have John Buscema, Frank, sticking his Uzi up the nose of Stan Goldberg's Archie in a little mini splash page. Very cool.
I would totally get a poster of this. This had to have been the advertisement at the time for this comic.
It really should have been.
This is all
great. Would have been a great one-page ad in a comic.
It's beautifully drawn. And I have to admit, this is where you can really see the distinction in the art styles. It's right there front and center.
There's another funny example of that on 35 in the middle of the page. Red Fever is grabbing Veronica and holding her hostage with a gun. And this is all Stan Goldberg, but having a gun in the class title is funny, and it puts you in the Goldberg-Buscema crossover.
Also, want to point this out too. Freckles here is a creep, super creepy with Veronica. It's a little uncomfortable for Archie Comics, I think.
It's especially uncomfortable, and it's especially creepy because it's Veronica's dad sends her to this guy who's his business partner, which I do think maybe in the 50s or the 60s probably was a bit more socially acceptable, but is still really creepy and has overtones of he's pimping out his daughter. It's very strange. To go happier things, Matt, another series of cameos on page 44 at the big splash panel at the bottom. Do you recognize all the people who are the balloons?
That big one is the Spider-Man, right, Bob?
Spider-Man.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better now. The other one's Sonic the Hedgehog.
You got half.
That other guy is, he's got red hair. Am I supposed to assume that's some sort of Archie thing?
It is an Archie thing. We did see it in Archie versus Predator 2, but we didn't talk about him on the page, if that distinction makes sense.
That dog, though, I believe that dog is a, well.
Go for it.
Okay, that dog is Jughead's dog?
Yeah, that's Hot Dog.
Okay. I thought Hot Dog had fluff all over his face.
He's kind of cropped by the panel board. The patriotic guy with red hair is the Shield.
Oh.
We were talking about him in Archie versus Predator 2 as one of the Archie universe heroes, the Red Circle heroes. He's the main one. He's, as you can tell, Captain America knockoff. Archie versus Predator 2, I didn't comment on it, but one of the Archie supporting cast, I can't remember if it was Kevin Keller or if it was somebody else, but one of the supporting cast was running around in Archie versus Predator 2 dressed up as the Shield for the Halloween dance.
I feel better about myself, Bob. I got 75%.
And the Shield was difficult. I don't really know what, you know, if I just saw the Shield outside of an Archie comic, I wouldn't recognize it. It's a weird generic design.
Generic American hero.
Yeah, generic patriotic hero. You pointed out the red hair, which I didn't notice. And it's funny because I think the Shield is the most prominent Archie hero. It's funny that both he and Archie Andrews have the carrot top.
It's a selling point for their comics, the red hair.
For sure. Now, I do want to really praise the end of this comic where the Shield balloon floats away, carrying away Red Fever, a.k.a. Freckles, newly revealed as bald. I just think that's brilliant. It's such a funny thing because it both satisfies the convention of Archie comics of the foe gets a ridiculous defeat. And it satisfies the conventions of a Punisher comic because he's dead.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really violate the conventions of the Archie comics to kill him. I just think that's so funny.
He's embarrassed to hell because his wig fell off. He looks like a washed up Lex Luthor type.
That's a good call.
And then this balloon just carries him off into space. We all know what's going to happen.
Even in this final panel, it's, I can't breathe. Although, that said, Matt, would you be down for the Punisher Max story where Red Fever returns?
I want Red Fever to return, but without the Archie piece. I want him to refer back to the Archie stuff like it's serious.
Only in a vague and legally distinct way from the Archie comic.
Exactly. That's what I want.
That would be really good. Now, Matt, we've got more Fantastic Four to cover, but the end of this comic sets up two crossovers, one of which actually happens and one of which doesn't. And the crossover that actually happens that it sets up is Batman versus Punisher. So it has me in the mood. I don't think I've ever read the Batman versus Punisher.
I haven't either.
Actually worth, I think there's two of them. I think one with Bruce Wayne and one with Jean-Paul Valley.
I'd be willing to read them. I'm always down for some Batman stuff. And Punisher, it grows on me with the War Journal stuff. I don't know why. That's something about the War Journal piece of it where he's keeping up with it all. It makes me want to read more.
I don't know how much early 90s Punisher you read back in the day, but that's fairly ubiquitous in early 90s Punisher. And they've pretty much dropped it. Well, they pretty much dropped Punisher lately, but in 21st century Punisher comics, they don't do that as much. I'm in favor of dropping it, but it does add a really funny tone to juxtapose his very self-serious Punisher captain's logs with Archie Cruz and zany narration and zany dialogue.
Their diary entries. I think Betty has one,
You can't counterpoint the War Journal or the Punisher captain's log with Betty and Veronica's diaries. And then the final crossover it sets up in the last page, which we do not ever get, to my knowledge, is we have Wolverine clawing a picture of Jughead, the most powerful and dangerous mutant alive.
I want that story post-Krakoa.
Yeah, Wolverine's trying to get Jughead to Krakoa.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be a good guy.
Jughead has ever been drawn in the background of a X-Men comic.
Surely he must have been. This was a fun little detour, and it sets up that gag where Veronica is trying to text the Punisher Archie versus Predator 2.
It made sense.
Lucky instead.
It made perfect sense.
There is a funny joke, this funny Superman joke, where Archie is trying to get Punisher to give him a signal watch like Jimmy Olsen.
I'll flash it in the sky. You come for me.
While he's doing that, Veronica's checking Frank out. She's gazing at him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, even if you didn't catch all the cameos, Matt, even if you didn't remember your Patsy Walkers and your Sabrina Spellmans, thank you for joining me on this journey to Archie versus Punisher 1994.
I'm a bit ashamed that you know Sabrina's last name.
That was just mentioned in Archie versus Predator 1. Where are we going to rank it? Hell yeah, we're ranking it.
Let's see. I mean, it's as good as the other ones. So
I was going to point out, you can always disagree and we can negotiate, but surely it's better than Hush.
Yes, I guess it's better than, in the grand scheme of things.
You see where I'm coming.
Yeah, it is better than Hush. So either put it after the Paul Dini run at the new number 8 or put it just after Archie versus Predator.
I don't think it's better than City of Madness.
Okay.
And I don't think I think it's better than the Paul Dini detective run.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. Yeah, put it.
Yeah. I was just clarifying our process. Yeah. I'm glad we agree with that.
Yeah, it's a really fun thing. I mean, I flew through it too. It was that good. It's short. It makes its point. It tells a story that you would expect if Punisher went into Riverdale. Now, at this point, Bob, there's one more thing I want to talk about. When we were in college, our freshman year, I had this idea for a Punisher story, and it was combining Punisher and Pokemon. And the only gag I had that I thought was so funny, and I actually wrote it out because I wanted to see if it was funny to anybody else. Punisher finds out about Pokeballs, and he just starts shooting the animals and putting them in the balls. So then when it's time for him to do a Pokey, whatever, the actual fights or whatever, he throws, the corpse comes out, or they're like dying and they want help. And Punisher doesn't understand, so then he just takes his Uzi and shoots the trainer guys or whatever. I think that scene has stuck with me. I want to see that somewhere drawn out.
You didn't tell me this in 2004, did you?
I doubt it. Remember. I wouldn't, maybe not had the confidence to tell you at that point, Bob, about my Pokemon Punisher story.
Well, I would say, I think it's too, you know, if they were ever to actually make a Punisher versus Pokemon comic, it's a good bit. I like the bit. If they were ever to do a Punisher versus Pokemon comic, I think it's too dark.
They can't kill Pokemon.
If you were to take up drawing on your own and doing a gag strip, like a parody strip, be a great parody strip, be a great 3-panel gag or a single page Sunday style gag. And conversely, if you were to ever write the Punisher, I think you could probably fit that in with a similar but legally distinct thing to the Pokemon in a random Punisher.
You could go to ChatGPT. And type in, make an image of Punisher with a Pokeball.
Matt, this is going to get really dark, but you know, we could also reenact the gag where you're the Pokemon in the Pokeball getting shot by the Punisher. That's always an option, too.
Bob, I know. AI is the downfall of society. It's already messing me up, Bob. I'm already AI in everything I need to do. It's so bad. The goal of the world is now at this point to turn us all into robots.
Gross.
They already got us doing labor. They got us doing nothing creative.
Only the stuff that's too dumb for AI to do.
Yeah, it's the truth.
All right. Well, this has been Uncanny Tracks Does Archie versus Punisher, which is now ranked number 8 on our list of 17 comics that we've talked for the podcast. Thank you all for listening. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland.
Thanks for listening.